All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we have a guest with us from Under Armour.
A special guest.
Special guest. Travis Gessle, he's been with Under Armour now since, would you say 2011? Is that how long you've been with them?
Yeah, it'd be 10 years this July. So it's been a great run. It's been, awesome.
So that's cool. So Travis is out of the Baltimore area, but he grew up as a kid around St. Louis, has done a lot of freshwater fishing. So we're going to talk a little bit about Under Armour. But we're also going to get into probably some of his, maybe his youth fishing. I don't know. But what he's really doing now is some offshore fishing. Sounds like he's got a place down off of Florida. We're going to pick his brain because we went down there just kind of as, your normal tourists going down and fishing whenever we can. We get to do it a handful of times, but not like it sounds like you get to. So we're going to pick your brain, ask you some questions and see how that goes.
I'm going down in mid-April, so I need to pick his brain because we're going to go down and do some offshore. And
so usually how this happens is he picks our brain all the time, Travis, because he really doesn't know.
Travis, don't listen to that.
So let's all try to help Josh.
Yeah.
Let's help Josh today. Yeah. So anyway, give us a little bit of rundown. What brought you Under Armour or how that goes? What they have going on right now.
Yeah, so it's an interesting story, and things happen for a reason. So I grew up, like you said, outside of St. Louis, and went to Springfield, Missouri, Missouri State. So I did a lot of fishing down there up Lake Taneycomo near Branson.
Oh yeah.
But right out of school, I started working at Rawlings, doing baseball equipment. They were based in St. Louis, and sure enough, I got to Under Armour. They recruited me to help them get into the baseball equipment business. So
sure.
I moved to Under Armour, the Baltimore area in 2011, started working on the baseball equipment, and then a job opening opened up in the hunt fish department. And,
that sounds perfect.
My passion.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have timed it any better. So, that's my passion. That's what I love to do. So I jumped ship and moved over to hunt fish, and I've been doing it ever since. So, I can't complain. I love my job. I get to do what I love, sure, for a living, which is, awesome.
You can't ask for more than that. So, tell us a little bit about what's up and coming with the freshwater, saltwater side, whatever you want to talk about with Under Armour right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, at Under Armour, we're kind of material nerds, it's, we're a premium brand, but we offer premium technology. It's like, you get what you pay for, and we want to make sure that, as a consumer and a customer, that you see value in our products, and there's a reason why you buy our products. So sure. Fishing specific, a couple of the technologies that we have in market is ISOCHILL. And really what ISOCHILL is, it's a cooling technology. And, when you're fishing, the elements that you want to protect yourself from the most is the sun, with the rays, sunburn, and then obviously the heat. Sure. You need to make sure that you're cool and dry. So mm-hmm. What ISOCHILL is it's cool to the touch. It allows you to fish longer. Obviously, heat causes fatigue, and ISOCHILL actually removes heat. It's got a component in it called titanium dioxide, and that absorbs the ultraviolet energy, and it moves the heat away from your body.
Really?
So you get to stay cooler longer and keeps you out on the water a lot longer. So that's our key technology as far as fish goes, especially in the extreme heat conditions.
That's pretty cool. You should have seen the three faces when you said titanium. We all looked at each other like, well, like man, look at this.
Titanium, check out, I couldn't even spell that.
Check out the big brain on Travis. Yeah, look at that.
Nice. No, you know what?
It's hard. It's hard not to, to get too technical. But like I said, we're material nerds at Under Armour. So sometimes we can't help it. So,
well, I tell you from, we fish a lot of tournaments. And that's, you hit on it. The heat, up here in Colorado, out west here. I mean, we're dying. I'm sure Florida. a lot of the saltwater application, but oh my gosh, it'll just get cooking. And tournament fishing is all about focus. And that's the one thing. When you get hot, it is hard to stay focused and, you know, get the job done. So we're always trying to
anything
keep
cool. that we can do to. Yeah, to keep focused. Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, and we actually used some of it here recently, and it is quality material. It's awesome.
Yeah, so we're pretty excited to have it get a little bit warmer here and really, really try out the new stuff and give it a good test, because I think, like these guys were saying, that's the hardest part for me is we're all just super fair skin and we sit out there and just roast and you know, at this elevation, it almost feels like you can reach up and touch the sun someday. So
I know
it's just brutal. So we're pretty excited to check this stuff out. And as always, you know, Travis, our big motto is if we don't use it, we're not going to talk about it. So obviously we like it, and we like the rain gear looks pretty awesome too. I'm going to try to work some rain gear out of you guys, because that stuff looks amazing.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing too, is, you know, the rain gear for fish, it's called our Shoreman Gore-Tex, and it's actually pack light. So, you know, we want to partner with the best partners, and, you know, as far as staying dry, you can't beat Gore-Tex. What's really cool about, you know, the material we use, obviously it's 100% waterproof and breathable, but it's lightweight. So it's that perfect weight to wear in the summer when it's still hot and muggy, but it's going to keep you dry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's body mapped, meaning we use ripstop material for durability in the areas that you need it, the real rugged durability.
Sure.
But then we use stretch material just to keep you comfortable and mobile. Because obviously when you're fishing, you're always working, you're always moving. And the last thing you want to do is worry about what you're wearing. So we just want to make sure you have, super, super comfortable, all the mobility you need, and just forget about your wearing because it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, I'm going to give you one more you guys probably didn't think about when you were doing it. But for us, especially this time of year, you know, March, April, May, you know, we can get snowstorms all the way up until the beginning of June. So we can be out fishing a tournament and have a ton of snowstorms, you know, and people think, oh, I need to be waterproof. Like you buy the Gore-Tex and stuff like that. But it's important to have that stuff be breathable when it's snowing, because you have layers of clothes underneath.
Yep.
And so if it's too confining, or if it doesn't breathe, then you get all that condensation from the sweat from the layers of clothes underneath, and then you get cold. So if you have rain gear that can breathe, especially in these colder conditions, when we get the spring snowstorms, well, you'll be sitting out there fishing all day and it'll be snowing on you. So that's going to be pretty, pretty cool stuff too.
Yep, exactly. So we're super happy. We have a lot of momentum. And, you know, we got you covered really from head to toe, you know, for our footwear. Even our bottoms, you know, they're nice nylon, stretch, lightweight performance, to where, again, you're getting protection from the sun, but you're moving, you're mobile, it's lightweight, so you're not getting too hot, it's breathable. So really, we feel like we can supply really every angler for any condition, and again, not have to worry about what they're wearing.
Well, cool. Well, check them out at underarmor.com, and they got some quality stuff. Fishing though, now we're going to start talking a little bit about where you're going. So you fish down in Florida. Do you want to talk when you were youth fishing in the Midwest or saltwater? Sounds like you're saltwater going out.
Saltwater is newer to me. I really didn't get into that until I started working with Under Armour. You know, I have to obviously test all the products I build, right?
Of course, that's brutal. Just tough.
So yeah, I mean, I have to get out on the water and make sure that everything does what we say it's going to do. So right now I'm super, you know, addicted to saltwater, whether it be inshore or offshore. But you know what? Nothing beats a nice pond with some bass or some trout, or, you know, even, some good walleye. So if there's fish biting, that's where I want to be, no matter where it's at.
See, you said the magic word. That's what gets you into the second half of the podcast. You said walleye. So now you get to stay for the whole podcast.
So if for everybody out there, that's our password for everything. Dang
it, you just nailed it. I don't think there's a better tasting fresh fish. Freshwater fish than walleye. Like, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, like we were saying, I'm on my way down about middle of April. to go go do a little offshore fishing. So if I'm going to head down there, give me three things I need to pack that aren't like, you know, the obvious, right? Like a rod and all that kind of stuff, because obviously I can't take that. But I'm meeting some buddies down there, and they are all equipped with that stuff. So what are the three things I need to take if I'm going from Colorado to Florida to fish offshore?
This time of year.
I mean, obviously, bring your Under Armour gear.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right?
Definitely. Definitely.
but you know, you need good polarized eyewear. Okay. The reason why I say polarized is just so that you can actually see in the water. It's unbelievable the difference between polarized lenses and regular lenses. But, you know, another obvious one is sunscreen for sure. Make sure you have plenty of ice and water, because you will bake and you will cook. You know, energy isn't bad either. If you're going to be out there all day, whether it's, you know, an energy drink or some coffee or whatever it may be, a buff. That way, just a lightweight buff for your face coverage.
Yeah. I think we all have plenty of those anymore.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how far you go offshore, just make sure you have some kind of satellite, whether it's you. I don't know if you guys have it or whoever you go with, but, you know, I use the Garmin InReach just in case you need to text or get a hold of somebody where you don't have cell service.
Yeah. So. And do you, any tricks? I usually am not a seasick person, but. If anybody's listening and they're like, you know what, I'd love to do that, but I get sick. Brad gets sick. We went fishing in Mexico and he was sick. We had to hold his hand and hold his hair back while he threw up over the side. but I mean, any tricks that you would have for trying to kind of combat seasickness?
You know, I've been lucky enough. I don't get seasick either, but I've been with plenty of people who have. And I mean, there's some, you can take Bonine, that works pretty well. You can take Dramamine, but that tends to make you a little, you know, groggy or drowsy. But the main thing that I think really works for everybody is keep your eyes out on the horizon where the water meets the sky. Like, don't focus on things that are really close to your eye or really close to the boat. You want to look at the big picture, like look out far. And then that will kind of help your equilibrium out, and you won't feel the sensation of that rocking or your you know, stomach starting to get upset. So I would say that'd probably be the best advice I have for you.
Nah, that's cool.
Nice.
Well, I tell you what, so now we're set up. We've got our Under Armour fish gear. We've got our sunscreen. We've got everything. We're not going to get seasick, because I was in the Navy. I'm not going to get seasick. Let's go.
You're talking to Seaman Mitchell.
Let's go out farther. I don't care. What I want to know, because I love saltwater fishing too. I don't get to do it very much, and I really just kind of do it from shore. But I'm intrigued by it, right? And all the species and different ways to do it and everything. And of course, I'm born and raised in Minnesota, so when I get to the ocean, I want to go for sharks. Even though salt guys are like, sharks, what are you doing? You know, it's a junk fish, but so. So my question is, long story short, what is your favorite fish to target and why that species?
So my two favorite fish to target is permit and mahi. And the reason is they're topwater fish, right? So they're sight fishing. So when you see them, you cast right to them. And obviously there's nothing better than watching the fish, you know, hammer your bait. So that's probably the coolest thing. They're really cool looking fish as well. They're great picture fish, but, really it's the sport of it. It's the sport of seeing the fish, targeting them, and then watch them eat.
So what are you using? I mean, you're using spinning gear probably of some sort, but how are you casting those, sight fishing? Tell us a little bit about what makes you successful when you're out there. Skiff boats, what kind of boats you fishing out of? What are you doing?
I mean, really, when you're out there in the Keys like that, yeah, you're using, you know, like an offshore center console boat, and they can range anywhere from, you know, low 20 feet all the way up to, you know, 50 feet, you know, running, you know, dual, triple, quad, you know, Yamaha, Mercury's, you name it. But, I mean, you'll see every kind of boat out down there, but, yeah, I mean, you just use top water, you know, jigs or lures, or, you know, it's hard to beat fresh fish as well, you know, in the live well, casting those out there and watching them eat. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So just recently I saw a video on Facebook or whatever, where they were sight fishing for mahis, and it was a huge school that they were around, and it was ridiculous. I mean, they'd cast their bait out, and I couldn't tell if it was live bait or if it was some kind of crankbait or what it was, but it, the instant it hit the water, yeah. I mean, they came from every direction, and it was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, is that is do so you experience fun. Do you experience that? I mean, like a whole school going nuts?
Yes. In fact, you know, there's a tournament that's run every summer. It's a three-leg tournament called the Florida West Coast Blue Water Series. And it's run by Brian Turner and the Holland Grass team. And we go offshore 100 miles to get to the deep water. And dang, we're actually out there looking for billfish, you know, blue marlin, white marlin, oh, yeah, sailfish, swordfish.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, while we're doing that, there's obviously other fish out there. So while we're trolling for, you know, the big trophy fish, we'll see schools of mahi. And like you said, you, once you see a school, you'll see them jump across, you know, the back wake, you cast at them. And then all of a sudden the school, I mean, everybody's got a line in the water and we're all getting hit at the same time. And then it's just chaos. Like
that's,
it goes
awesome.
From, yeah, it goes from like nothing going on to chaos in like 3 seconds.
That's awesome.
That is the yeah. best.
So what kind of equipment do you have? I mean, what pound test line are you using? Are you using maybe like Berkeley Trilene Big Game?
Like
or,
a fluoro? What are you using?
What, yeah. Do you guys do super lines? What kind of, what's your setup like?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many different options. I mean, you know, when things aren't working, you always try something else. But I mean, mainly it's, you know, Ballyhoo, we're running on the lines along with artificial lures. But I mean, we're using, for the most part, Shimano, and Shimano rods and reels are Crowder, reels or rods. I'm sorry. And, yeah, just real heavy test line. And, I mean, when you get a fish on the line, the last thing you want is your line to break.
Yeah,
so
that's no good. How about redfish? You do some of that?
Yeah. So you know what, switching gears to inshore fishing, that's incredible. So, you know, you get the slam, which is a redfish, a snook, a sea trout, and a tarpon. Oh, and that's tarpon. Something you guys need to do if you're down there. It's awesome because, again, that's sight fishing. You use little white bait or pilcher fish, and they go nuts on it. Now, if you can get some crabs, that's kind of what the tarpon go after, but yeah, that's super fun to do, and I would highly recommend doing that when you're down there.
It's kind of funny. That's what Mitch used to do when he was in the Navy.
So, hey, Travis, sorry. Sometimes Josh's jokes kind of fall flat, but yeah, you know, he keeps
but he laughs there. At them. Oh, yeah. He thinks
they're funny. I think they're kind of funny.
So the inshore fish. What did you say? You said the redfish, snook. What else now?
Sea trout, oh, yeah. And then tarpon. Yeah. Yep. So, and you know, those are what you use for, you know, a lot smaller, you know, skiff boats.
Sure.
You sneak into the real skinny water. And you always, you know, with you have to always play the tide, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's stagnant, the fish really aren't feeding. So the water has to be moving. It doesn't matter if the water's moving in or moving out, but you have to pay attention when you see the biggest dips, or rise of the tide, that's when they're going to be the most active. So if you look at a tide chart and you really see some high peaks and valleys, that's when you want to fish.
Huh. Sure.
Hey, have you ever had a shark come up and eat anything that you were reeling in? I've seen a few videos where these hammerheads just come up and just destroy tarpon when you're reeling them in.
It's terrible. And like you said, you like to fish for them, you know, up there in the Great Lake, but nobody likes catching.
I know.
Maybe the first time you like catching a shark, but after that, you know, you can be reeling something for, you know, fighting something for a good 10 or 15 minutes. And then all of a sudden you get sharked and you pull up just like
I had
either nothing or maybe the head of a fish.
Yeah.
So it's really bad down there.
Oh. Yeah. For us, middle of the United States guys, when me and Mitch go to the, we're like, oh, let's go catch a shark.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah.
But yeah, so I understand what you're saying though, because now the guys that are into the sport fishing like you are, no, you work hard to go after the fish, the species that you are, and then have it bit off by a shark.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know, especially a nice tuna, you know, some awesome sushi, and you're reeling the thing in, you're fighting, you're sweating, you can, you know, your arms are on fire from fighting this thing. And all of a sudden you can see the fish and then you see a shark come and just smash it. And it just takes the wind right out of your sail.
Hey, so real quick, back to the inshore fishing, like you mentioned, sneaking in on skinny water and stuff. You know, when the tide's coming in or out, we'll say, and so it's a hot time. So you're out there. Is there a particular depth that you kind of focus at, or is it just, could the fish just be anywhere? How do you find
it? It depends on the season, like when they're spawning. You know, like in the summer, they're spawning on the beaches. So, I mean, if you're by boat, then really you can just pretty much come, 50 to 100 feet offshore and then just cast towards the beach. And that's kind of where they'll be swimming back and forth. But, you know, in the winter, they when the water gets cold, they like to go to kind of the warmer water. So they'll get really shallow. And, you know, when it's low tide, it's tough to get into those spots. That's why you need like a really, like a skiff boat that can get in, 6 to 8 inches of water. Cause then you'll beat all those, those guides who have bigger boats in there. Sure. So obviously the first one to the spot typically does the best. So the skinnier the boat and the skinnier the water, the more success you'll have. So
mm-hmm. Josh is going down in the middle of April. What do you think? What should he be going for? Middle April, what would you say?
Redfish and snook, for sure. Well, here's the deal. The best part about it is that area is depending on weather. Like if it looks like it's going to be a windy day offshore and you're going to get beat up by the waves, then just fish inshore and just have a blast catching redfish and snook. But if the Gulf is nice and calm, almost like a lake, then you got to head offshore and, go meat fishing. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, I heard the tuna is going to be one of the things. I heard they're running a little bit early this year. They're already started, but tuna was definitely one of the fish that we were going down to target. So,
yeah, I mean, a nice yellowfin would be sweet. It's hard to beat yellowfin tuna. So
that'd be awesome. I'm totally stoked. We only get 3 days, but it's going to be fishing from the second we step off the plane to the second they drag us back on and throw us on to come back to this landlocked state.
Well, I was going to say, before you head down there, get in touch with me and I can line you up with somebody, or maybe I'll be down there and we can head on the water together.
That'd be awesome.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay, absolutely. So me and Mitch we're going to book a trip now.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh is coming in.
Travis, we're going to be calling you soon, buddy.
When should we come?
When are you available?
Anytime. You know what? There's nothing better than fishing. So
you got that.
Well,
right.
we'll extend that same thing to you. You ever want to come out and kind of hash up your Midwest roots, but a little bit further west, we'd be happy to have you out here and do a little walleye fishing. I think you'd be shocked at how good the walleye fishing is in Colorado.
It is good. It can be good.
I'd love it. Let's go.
That sounds good.
Well, hey, for everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, thank you so much, Travis, for spending some time with us tonight. Under Armour is a great product, and we hope you guys check that out. But to have this opportunity to sit down and talk to you a little bit about stuff that we don't get to do. We get to do it as very amateur, but still get to go out and do it. It's exciting. I'm all excited. I want to go right now.
Yeah.
Let's go. So we do appreciate your time. From everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys. Enjoyed it.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.